Affirmative. Hello, Texas America. This is Mark Dan, Fox America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been joined and continue to be joined by Brian Malatesta, the head of the Constitution Party of Texas. He is spearheading a very interesting gathering this weekend that I will allow him to continue saying more about in the last hour of the show. We are now joined by Dr. Jerome Corsi of both WorldNet Daily and Human Events. Dr. Corsi may well yet be the Constitution Party's candidate for the presidency of the United States. As I've already mentioned, that's a little premature to be suggesting that he's just going to be the nominee. But he's obviously a very prominent figure on the American right. The things he's been saying recently about the North American Union and the NAFTA superhighway and, among other things, Rudolph Giuliani that have been posted at WorldNet Daily are quite clearly very insightful articles that have been alerting people around the country as to what's going on in the Republican Party as it relates to its support of globalism. And as we talk about Dr. Corsi, of course, we'll be examining a series of other things related to some of his foreign policy ideas and what he sees as the opportunities as well as the potential pitfalls of being involved with a third-party effort like the Constitution Party. He now joins us from the East Coast of the United States. How are you, sir?
Great, Mark. Great pleasure to be with you and Brian today.
Yes, sir. Clearly, Brian is involved in an event this coming weekend here in Texas where the Constitution Party of Texas is showing its wares to people around the state as well as around the country. I understand that you're going to be a part of that as well.
That's right. I'm flying down to Texas tomorrow. I'm looking forward to seeing Brian and being with the Constitution Party all day Saturday. And I think it's going to be a great event. I recommend it to as many people as can show up to come on. I think it'll be a great, great day.
Well, in terms of this whole business of the Constitution Party, Dr. Corsi, in regard to what the Republican presidential contenders have said thus far, there have been at least three televised debates. MSNBC had one, Fox News had a second, and now CNN, as of 2 days ago, has sponsored yet a third. What have you heard, and for that matter, not heard out of these gentlemen, which leads you to believe that the Constitution Party has an opportunity this time around to make a bigger dent in the American Republican voting constituency and among voters generally?
Well, Mark, first I want to make clear that I've never been a Democrat or a Republican. I've never joined either party. To my knowledge, I've never been a member of either one.
No wonder you're sane, but go ahead.
The Constitution Party is the first party I believe I've actually joined, and I did join the Constitution Party. The Constitution Party stands for principles that I think today are absolutely essential of going back to the fundamental principles of the Founding Fathers. Now, to answer your question, I listened very carefully both to the Democratic Party and to the Republican Party debates, and all the candidates I'm seeing in the Republican Party are in agreement in some basic, basically the Republican Party is not any longer adhering to conservative principles, and conservative principles are different from constitutionalist principles. The Republican Party today reminds me, with some exceptions, the second ring, the second tier of candidates like Ron Paul from Texas, Congressman Tancredo from Colorado, and Congressman Duncan Hunter from California, at least are addressing the issue of securing our borders. Ron Paul is expressing concerns over the Iraq war. But in general, the Republican candidates in the first tier are all globalists. They all remind me of what my father, who was a labor union executive, used to call the Rockefeller wing of the Republican Party. Business people who want no borders.
When we come back, Dr. Corsi, let's take that up, this whole business of globalism among these top-tier candidates and their connections to what we used to call Rockefeller Republicanism. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network, back with Dr. Jerome Corsi and Brian Malatesta. Stay tuned.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Brian Malatesta, the Constitution Party of Texas, Dr. Jerome Corsi, who is a part of the Constitution Party and also writes for WorldNet Daily and for Thomas Winter's Human Events, joins the conversation as well. Wanted to mention for the listeners that tomorrow, Mark Glenn is going to be helping me do a very special show here at Mark Antos, America. Mark is up in Washington, D.C. now. He will be in attendance tomorrow at the USS Liberty Survivors Gathering, Survivors Reunion, that's going to transpire. That coincides with the 40th anniversary of Israel's attack on the USS Liberty as of tomorrow. And some of these guys have been on my show in the past on an individual basis. We're going to be talking with three, four, five of them tomorrow, potentially, if Mark Glenn gets the phone hookup accomplished there live on site with some of these fellows. And we're going to be covering what exactly happened 40 years ago. Did Israel deliberately attack the Liberty? Take a look at USSLiberty.org, which discusses this subject, and take a look at the results of the Admiral Moore Commission, which looked into this whole question. Admiral Moore and Secretary of State Dean Rusk and the former head of the Central Intelligence Agency, Richard Helms, among others, say that that's exactly what Israel did. So tomorrow is the 40th anniversary of that attack, and USSLiberty.org will give you, I presume, some of the details on that reunion that transpires tomorrow. Mark Glenn will be covering that gathering in Washington, both for the American Free Press as well as for this show, Mark Dankoff's America. And then 1 week from tomorrow, Mark and I will get back with our usual regular gig, which is also going to involve Father John Martinez on a regular basis on Fridays, resuming again with that aspect of things 1 week from tomorrow. Back to our conversation then with Dr. Jerome Corsi and with Brian Malatesta. Dr. Corsi, before the break, we were talking about Rockefeller Republicanism and the fact that, in your judgment, Rockefeller Republicanism is what characterizes these upper-tier candidates. Let me follow up on that a little bit. One, what is Rockefeller Republicanism? Number two, is George Bush a Rockefeller Republican? And number three, since, you know, by your admission in previous conversations on this show, you voted for Mr. Bush in 2000 and in 2004, obviously are not in favor of him this time. What has caused, when it comes to Mr. Bush, your change in perceptions in regard to him? Go ahead, sir.
Well, George Bush's second term has been fundamentally different than his first term. I mean, beginning with things like Harriet Myers being nominated to the Supreme Court, which was, you know, completely from left field. One of his cronies, a former lawyer who represented him on the Texas Lottery Commission when he was governor. You know, these kinds of moves that George Bush has taken in the second administration just are not either compatible with conservatism or constitutionalism, and I can list a whole series of them, including his unwillingness to contain spending, his unwillingness to, you know, he's now fighting a war in Iraq, which is nation-building, something George Bush campaigned he would never do. I could list a whole list of issues I'm angry about. The whole issue of Rockefeller Republicanism started in really in the 50s and 60s with the business wing of the Republican Party, largely the millionaires, Rockefeller and the others in New York City. And all they cared about was the expansion of business. I mean, you know, you could see the head of General Motors saying, what's good for General Motors is good for America. You know, these kind of statements and ultimately being extending the business concern to being a multinational business concern where the businesses wanted, even at the expense of American jobs, to go hire cheap labor wherever it was in the world. Today, wanting to go to China, even using Chinese slave and near-slave laborers, there are still concentration camps in China, political prisoners that make goods for the U.S. market, as shocking as that is, it's true. And we, you know, if we say it's morally wrong to use African-American slaves, which it is, it's also morally wrong to condone using, on a free trade policy, Chinese slaves. That's not free trade, it's unfair trade to everybody, including to the Chinese slaves. And the idea that we can pursue business interests across borders for corporate profits to the detriment of the sovereignty of the United States, to the detriment of our economy and of our workers, that to me is the full and extreme view of what Rockefeller Republicanism was all about. And I reject that. I think that we see examples of it in NAFTA, now going to the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, this new NAFTA superhighway that's being built with Interstate 35, and it's going to happen in Texas. This 4 football fields wide highway now is through all the legal barriers. Governor Perry even vetoed the 2-year moratorium the state legislature had voted. Mexican trucks coming across the border, the president jamming down our throats, yet another guest worker amnesty. These are all indications of the globalism that reflects the Rockefeller Republicanism, the pure business interests and for the pursuit of profit only, that I think is detrimental to the interests of the United States and the Constitution.
So, and essentially what we have then, if we are to analyze the Republican presidential contenders at a most basic level, is pretty much, with the exception, I think, of Ron Paul, pretty much a situation where the other guys accept a certain cooperation or a certain symbiotic relationship between corporate government or between corporate global economic entities and government, which in an earlier age would have been referred to as fascism? Or is that too strong a statement in your view?
No, I think that that's actually pretty close to appropriate, because the business interests, what the Rockefeller Republicans want is they want their international business objectives to reflect and determine government policy. And that's what Bush is doing. And that's apparent in the second term, apparent with this, you know, this Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America was declared on March 25th, 2005. It didn't exist in the first term. I'm not sure if that had existed earlier, or if Bush had been clear that he was going to do that, I'd have ever voted for him. And it was a surprise move in the second term. And what I'm saying is, I think certainly Tom Tancredo, who refuses to accept that we're moving towards a North American Union through the same stealth process that moved Europe to a European Union over a 50-year period from a common market, you know, coal and steel agreement, common market, customs union, European community, now European Union with the euro, and I'm saying we're going the same path, NAFTA, Security and Prosperity Partnership. The elite are now talking about a North American community, and I think that'll be followed by a North American Union and a new currency called the Amero. Ron Paul, I think, would resist that. Duncan Hunter, I'm not as sure. Duncan Hunter and Tom Tancredo want a secure border, but how much that extends to really seeing the evils and detriments of globalism, I'm not sure for either one of them.
Well, as you look at this whole thing, let's zero in on Ron Paul a little bit, both with you and with Brian Malatesta, Dr. Corsi. Ron Paul, of course, presumably is going to have, just in Texas alone, is going to have a certain percentage of people voting for him in the Republican primary who ideologically are very sympathetic to the Constitution Party. Now, if those people vote for Paul in a Republican primary, at least in Texas, it will disqualify them from certain kinds of things that they could be doing in the way of activism for a Constitution Party presidential candidate in 2008, for example, signing petitions and things of this sort. To what extent is the Ron Paul presidential candidacy in the Republican primaries going to adversely impact the Constitution Party, both in Texas and around the country? And to what extent does his candidacy potentially enhance your chances? What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, first let me answer that. I think that Ron Paul, I'm a strong Ron Paul supporter for virtually every issue he articulates, so it's hard for me to criticize Ron Paul. And I think, being completely candid, had Ron Paul decided he was going to be a Constitution Party candidate, he probably would have been the choice for the nomination immediately. I mean, I don't think the Constitution Party might not have looked farther. Ron Paul, I can't bring myself to criticize Ron Paul. I think I praise him for the courage he's had to speak out from within the Republican Party as he has. It may be a time issue. In other words, if Ron Paul continues to pursue the Republican Party nomination, I have every indication he will not change parties. Indications from very high levels. Ron Paul is not leaving the Republican Party right now. That's just not going to happen, evidently. And I don't see Ron Paul, despite the efforts to get him into the Republican Party, this Republican Party will never allow Ron Paul to be a candidate of president or vice president. I mean, that's my conclusion. It'd be wonderful if I were wrong. But I just think that this party is so dominated by the global business interests that dictate the party's future. The party is not going to, it'll nominate a Giuliani, whose law firm represents Cintra, C-I-N-T-R-A, the Spanish Investment Consortium, that is going to build the Trans-Texas Corridor. Or the Republican Party will nominate Fred Thompson, who wanted to expand NAFTA, voted to support Mexican migrant workers. Fred Thompson is another globalist. He's a Council on Foreign Relations member.
That's very interesting information on Thompson. I'm glad you mentioned it on the air. When we come back, I might ask you to give us your evaluation of Newt Gingrich and whether or not you think he's going to get in this thing. We'll be back with Jerome Corsi and Brian Malatesta. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Brian Malatesta of the Constitution Party of Texas and also Dr. Jerome Corsi of the Constitution Party and also a very renowned national correspondent both for WorldNet Daily and for Human Events. Dr. Corsi, before the break, you were indicating that Fred Thompson, for those who are looking for him to be an alternative to the present crop of so-called top-tier candidates, is himself a globalist in terms of his support of the Mexican Migrant Workers Program and in terms of his support of NAFTA. That would pretty much clearly indicate that he is in the global corporate business camp. What about Newt Gingrich? How should we read him? He's not in the thing yet, of course, but there's a lot of talk, and it was in recently the Wall Street Journal, that Gingrich is just waiting around until September to dive into the thing.
Well, and also on Thompson, Fred Thompson, I want people to know he's not the person he plays in the film. He's been a long-standing member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and I don't think you can get a better credential to identify you as a globalist. Thompson in the Senate does not have a record of closing the borders or securing the borders. He has a record of voting for corporate interests. Newt Gingrich, I think, has really disqualified himself in the Republican Party. The affair he had, the marriage he broke up, you know, while Newt Gingrich was pursuing Clinton for his lying over the affair with Monica Lewinsky. And it was really perjury that was more Clinton's error than that he was being pursued for than the marital infidelity. But I think Newt Gingrich is going to have a very hard time with the moral conservatives, moral right in the Republican Party that have just not forgiven him or understood that behavior. And I think it'll be not excused or overlooked. I think it's also a liability for Giuliani. I think if either Giuliani or Newt Gingrich were to emerge as Republican candidates, the conservative wing of the Republican Party would sit out the election, much as they sat out the November 2006. And I don't see any candidate that's in the first tier of the Republican contenders that's going to make any impact positively upon the conservative wing. And, you know, the Rockefeller Republicans, the globalists of the Republican Party, don't care. They're trying to push the party to the center and just drive it again the same way the party was in the 50s, you know, just supporting business interests and fighting labor unions. I think this Republican Party, like George Bush and the interests that are paying George Bush, are happy to have millions of illegal Mexicans here to undercut labor in the bottom tiers. And I'm just opposed to that. You know, that was the Republican Party when I grew up as a kid, and I wanted to have nothing to do with it. I liked Eisenhower when I was a kid. But Eisenhower was never really a pure Republican. The Republican Party convinced Eisenhower to run as a Republican at the end of World War II by buying him the farm at Gettysburg. Eisenhower at the end of World War II could have gone either way, Republican or Democrat.
Well, I think he was basically an internationalist, too, and I think the whole struggle, I would argue, that took place between Robert Taft and Dwight Eisenhower in 1952 for the Republican presidential nomination probably once and for all decided that the Republican Party, despite its rhetoric and all the years that followed, was essentially an internationalist party from that time on forward, and that's become only more glaringly obvious, of course, in recent years.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with you entirely. The only thing I'd point out is that Eisenhower was never, you know, he was a general, and he never had that deep, the political convictions. Yes, the fight with Taft losing in 52 was significant in the Republican Party. But remember Eisenhower at the end of his last speech in terms of his farewell speech on the military-industrial complex. Eisenhower was aware of the kinds of threats that could come from globalism and threats to the sovereignty of the United States. He was a patriot in the final analysis. And the fault, I think, the Republican Party when Barry Goldwater and Ronald Reagan tried to say they could change the Republican Party from within and make it more conservative, you know, deciding they would prefer to go with the big base rather than go out and create their own party, I think that was a fundamental mistake. And I know people today who went to try to convince Reagan to run under a third-party banner. He just didn't want to go through creating and fighting to have a third party. I've reached the conclusion that the Republican Party is beyond salvage. I see no reason why the Republican Party needs to survive. I couldn't care less if it went away the same way the Whigs went away, to be honest with you. That's why the Constitution Party should be a party of the future, because the Constitution Party does truly carve out new ground, not based on conservative principles so much as constitutionalist principles of going back to the values that preserved our freedoms, institutions of government that are set forth and articulated in the Constitution itself.
Well, yeah, and this gets back to something that Howard Phillips mentioned to me before he and I were on television in Washington a little less than a decade ago. Howard said to me, the Republican Party must be destroyed. quote unquote. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Dr. Jerome Corsi and with Brian Malatesta of the Constitution Party of Texas. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, "A penny saved is a penny earned." By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Brian Malatesta, the Constitution Party of Texas, and also Dr. Jerome Corsi, who represents not simply the Constitution Party, but also talks about a lot of things that are posted on a regular basis in his columns for WorldNet Daily. That's Joseph Farro's publication online, of course, at WND.com. And then for Human Events, which is edited by my old friend Thomas S. Winter, fellow German Lutheran. You can find Human Events, I believe, online at humaneventsonline.com. You might have to double-check my memory on that, but I think that that's where you will find the latter. Known since 1944 as the National Conservative Weekly. Dr. Corsi, in talking about some of the things that we're speaking of here, One of the things that comes up in regard to the Constitution Party is foreign policy. Let's take a look, for example, at the whole question of Israel. I sense that you're in a different place on the subject of the Zionist state of Israel than might characterize certainly Pat Buchanan and I suspect as well Ron Paul. What do you see as the differences there, and do those differences reflect certain differences of opinion within the Constitution Party? Go ahead, sir.
Well, they may reflect differences in the Constitution Party. I've always been a strong supporter of Israel. That's been part of my history since I was a child. From the time I was born in 1946, I learned from a very early age. I was always very political. The creation of the State of Israel had seemed to me to be a biblical issue, a fulfillment really of prophecies. I mean, I believe that that's the case. I thought it when I learned as a child that Harry Truman had made the decision to, over the State Department's objectives, have the partition go forward in Palestine to create the State of Israel. From the very first I ever heard of that, was aware of the Holocaust. I felt that these were biblical developments, and I guess my faith overrides anything else on those issues.
Are you a so-called dispensationalist?
I don't even know what that means.
Well, do you believe that in terms of biblical prophecy, in the movement known as dispensational premillennialism, which characterizes the point of view at Dallas Theological Seminary, Moody Bible Institute, some of those institutions, the notion that God maintains a separate program, as it were, for ethnic Israel that is apart from his purposes for the church?
It's a question I'd have to think a lot more about. I'm a Roman Catholic. I was born Catholic. And the Catholic religion is a lot simpler on some of these issues. I'm not also an expert on Bible prophecy. I'm not. In many ways, I feel very close to a lot of the evangelicals in the sense of having accepted Christ into my life and having, you know, been born again. That kind of an experience I can certainly relate to. But I am I'm a Roman Catholic. So many of these issues that are more advanced in the Protestant religion, I just don't have opinions on because I've not thought deeply on them. They've not been part of my faith.
Although historically the Roman Catholic Church, as I understand it, has not supported Zionism, historically.
Well, the Roman Catholic Church has been ambivalent. I mean, until recent popes, there was even some continuing concern about the church condemning the Jews for having crucified Christ. I mean, I guess I've always read the parts of the Bible that say those who support the state of Israel, God supports. And that's about good enough for me. It's about where I end the thought and discussion. That's good enough on that subject for me.
Yes.
Beyond that, in terms of other issues, I don't think, for instance, that we should go to a war with Iran. I've been very, you know, when I've written two books, Atomic Iran and Showdown with Nuclear Iran, and in both books, I say that a war with Iran, well, it's likely to be the outcome. I think we'll fail, and certainly have failed under President Bush in all the ways I predicted we would fail, with the United Nations, working with the Europeans, working with the International Atomic Energy Agency. Negotiating with Iran is going to fail the way we're doing it. But I've said a war would be terrible, a disaster, and there's other alternatives.
But is not the state of Israel leading the drive to get the United States to go to war with Iran? And is the state of Israel not the driving force behind Bush's decision to go into Iraq? And the reason I say that is based upon the public statements coming from high-ranking Israeli officials that are repeated on a daily basis, both in Haaretz as well as the Jerusalem Post, and then the clear connections of these Jewish neoconservatives advising Bush to the Israeli lobby and the Israeli government.
Look, I went to Israel. I was invited to address the Knesset after I wrote Atomic Iran, and I went. And I've been in regular communication with the top Iranian experts within the Ministry of Defense, the very top. And I'll tell you firsthand, meeting with them in Tel Aviv, meeting with them in New York City, the Ministry of Defense has been begging the United States to get into a diplomatic solution to Iran and does not want to go to war with Iran. I know that firsthand. From the top of the advisors to the government. Now, within Israel, Israel, if anybody spent any time in Israel, it's not, it doesn't speak with one mind. There are many different opinions in Israel, and people have, even from within the military, even from within the government, come out with statements saying that, you know, war is likely and war is inevitable. But I know that the Olmert government is not there, and I know that the Ministry of Defense is not there, and I'm not there. I don't think we have to go to war with Iran. I think it would be a dramatic mistake to do so, although I think that that's the way the Bush administration's heading.
What in your judgment, then, in terms of the foreign policy of the Constitution Party, would you say that it would be fair to characterize your foreign policy views as having some significant differences with those of Pat Buchanan and Ron Paul, and that at some point the Constitution Party, not simply in Texas but around the country, is going to have to maybe thrash out some of that in regard to what it's going to run on in 2008?
Well, the party will have to decide what it wants to do on that. Remember, the National Veterans Coalition has come to try to draft me. I didn't start out saying I wanted to run for the Constitution Party. It's not been a 40-year burning desire of my life. I'm happy to consider it. I'm giving it serious thought right now. In terms of where I am in terms of foreign policy of the United States, for instance, I think we have not fought a constitutional war since World War II. Every one of these presidentially declared wars, including the idea of a preemptive strike or getting into a preemptive strike with Iran, I'm opposed to. I think if the United States goes to war, it has to be with a declaration of Congress. That's the way the Constitution is written, and I think there's good reason it's written that way. It requires a serious commitment by more than one branch of the government, and our Constitution carefully limits power. So, you know, even if I were saying I'd want to go to war to support Israel, even if Israel were attacked, I think that requires a declaration of war by Congress. And I would demand one before the United States got involved. I would also do everything possible not to go to war. Iraq, you know, when we went into Iraq, we went in with limited objectives. I was very opposed because it wasn't a constitutional war. But I was not, and I also was willing to believe President Bush at that point on the weapons of mass destruction intelligence. I was very deeply disappointed, as many people were, to find out how much of a put-up job that was. And I think now that we're in Iraq for this length of time, nation building, which is something we never said we would do, the military did achieve the purpose it was created to do. We have a quick strike force military, and it achieved the purpose of toppling Saddam. But staying, the length of time we've stayed, is only complicating the problem. In the Middle East, war is the problem. It's never the solution. If you really want to know the core of my policy in the Middle East, it's very much where Rabin was at the end of his life. Prime Minister Rabin, who was one of the greatest warriors ever, probably, for Israel, at the end of his life came to the conclusion that every time someone was killed in anger in the Middle East, it perpetuated another generation of violence. Revenge set in, one faction set against another faction. The Middle East has been fighting since, you know, biblical times, you know, thousands of years, and it's not solved anything in the Middle East. More war in the Middle East is always a bad idea. And I do everything possible to stay out of wars. I do everything possible to get out of Iraq, to do it in a way that was honorable, but to do it the way that we'd say, look, we've done enough here. We're not going to do any more nation building that's going to be positive or successful. Now the war is just going to expand in Iraq to involve the Kurds and the Turks. And that's inevitable. The Turks want, you know, to contain the Kurds in Turkey, the Kurds in Iraq, and the Kurds in Iran want Kurdistan created. And that movement's not going to stop or go away, and it's none of our business. I don't see that the United States needs to get involved in that.
Well, quite clearly, the United States is involved in it. As a matter of fact, Philip Giraldi of Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative has made the public charge repeatedly that both American intelligence, British intelligence, and Israeli intelligence have been involved in working with the Kurds and playing both ends against the middle, apparently, in this business of the Turkish-Kurdish controversy, and that Israel and the United States, as I understand it from what Giraldi has printed in Buchanan's publication, have been involved in Azerbaijan and Khuzestan province and Balochistan province in Iran, in supporting a series of actions designed to exacerbate tensions between certain ethnic groups in Iran and their central government in Tehran. Do you support those actions on the part of the United States and Israel, assuming that Giraldi's reports are accurate?
I think we've made mistakes in the Middle East going back to 1953 when we got involved with Mossadegh, prime minister of Iran, that we helped overthrow with the CIA and Kermit Roosevelt being involved in that. Our whole idea that we can go in and have foreign policy executed through the CIA or other covert operatives of government is a bad idea. It hasn't worked. It's dishonest, and it violates some of the fundamental principles that George Washington set out in the farewell address, this avoiding foreign entanglements. We start getting involved in these covert moves, and they always backfire. A lot of countries in the world may do things we don't like, but they are not directly affecting our national security interests. I think our national security interests have to do with when we're being attacked by another country, and not even just at risk in being attacked by another country. I do agree with Ron Paul that these preemptive wars are morally problematic. And I don't think we can justify going in and attacking a country because we're worried they might attack us. I think that's extremely difficult. Ron Paul's right on that point. And a preemptive war against Iran is, again, a very, very bad precedent, a very bad idea. And I don't think we need to be there. The CIA, we may need a strong intelligence operation to gain intelligence, but this foreign operative aspect of the CIA and covert actions, I'm totally opposed. I would have us do the kinds of things we did to bring down apartheid in South Africa. In other words, we can do a lot of things with countries we think are pursuing immoral or wrong policies to affect them economically, or to even to articulate, as Ronald Reagan did. Come out and say that Iran is an evil regime. I think that's appropriate. Come out and talk about the people who are in prison, in Iran prison, including now some Americans, that say, you know, these people are freedom fighters, and we, like President Bush said, the second inaugural, you're a freedom fighter, we'll stand with you. Well, I'd start standing with them publicly in addresses from the presidency and say, well, these are the people in Iran who we support, and this regime needs to come down, but from within, and not by us dictating the change. I'd support the freedom fighters around the world, let them go work on it there on their own, but I would support them publicly.
Well, in regard to this whole issue of a George Washington America First foreign policy that avoids foreign entanglements, getting back again to this whole business of the State of Israel, there are those on the American right who would say that in terms of terrorism, that the Zionist State of Israel was founded upon terrorism, getting back to the activities of Menachem Begin and Yitzhak Shamir with the Stern and Irgun gangs. They would go on to point to certain things, the Levant affair in Egypt in 1954, where Israel attacked American assets in Egypt and attempted to pin that on the Egyptians in a false flag incident. Then there, of course, is the USS Liberty and Israel's attack on that vessel on June the 8th, 1967. There's the Pollard spy case in the late 1980s that comes to mind in terms of even the current attempts on the part of many people in the American Jewish community to have Pollard freed. And then, of course, Michael Collins Piper in his book Final Judgment. I don't know if you've had a chance to read it, Dr. Corsi, but it alleges that the Israeli Mossad played a direct role in the assassination of John Kennedy. Now, I know that that's a controversial thesis, but I've reviewed the book. I've seen the evidence that Piper brings forth, and I find it, frankly, to be very disturbing. So when we look at the State of Israel in regard to the whole issue of American foreign entanglements, and we look at the Levant affair, we look at the USS Liberty, we look at the Kennedy controversy, the Pollard spy case, and then what Gordon Thomas has talked about at Seeds of Fire, the provable role of Israel and Communist China in siphoning American defense secrets out of the Los Alamos nuclear laboratory in New Mexico, isn't this an indication that our relationship with Israel needs to be reevaluated?
Well, you talked about a whole mix of issues there. First of all, Piper can't prove what he says. He's got a very interesting theory. I've got a shelf full of books here on grassy knoll theories. They're all very fascinating. They make nice late evening reading. None of them are proved, as opposed to, say, the Liberty, which is a proven incident. In general, with Israel, and another thing that you said that I want to comment on, going back over Middle Eastern events, and I've been in discussions like this since I was a child, where people want to go back to who's right in the Middle East, going back to 2000 B.C., everybody's right and everybody's wrong in the Middle East. That's the conclusion I've come to. Everybody's right and everybody's wrong. We've got to deal with some of the realities. I would deal with is that Israel is a nation state, and I see that it has legitimacy and it has reason to survive. And I think many of the Middle Eastern countries, especially the Sunni countries, including Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Jordan, are increasingly coming to that conclusion. Now, no nation state, Israel or any other nation state, has any right to steal our national secrets, and I wouldn't support Israel doing that any more than Russia or China. But at the same time, I don't think we can go back and settle arguments that go back 2,000 years.
We'll be back with Dr. Jerome Corsine with Brian Malatesta of the Constitution Party. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
We're
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Public Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by the Honorable Jerome Corsi, Ph.D. from Harvard, who writes for WorldNet Daily and Human Events and is also a member of the Constitution Party, and also Brian Malatesta, the chairman of the Constitution Party of Texas. And in the show's final minutes, how many states do you guys think you will be on the ballot on come the fall of 2008? What's the target there? And what's being done to try and develop state organizations around the country between now and the election?
Brian's probably best to answer that if he's on the line.
Brian, you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, sir.
I think that in the 2004 election, we were on 42 state ballots. And as I speak right now, I know there are ballot petitioning processes underway in six states. The full agenda is obviously to be on 50 states, but there are hurdles, like we have here in the state of Texas, where it's basically, we don't allow you to participate unless you're one of us, meaning an R or a D. So there's one or two states that it's almost impossible to be on the ballot, but I fully expect that we'll be on the ballot probably around 47, 48 states by the 2008 election.
Well, in terms of strategy, let's assume, for example, that the Constitution Party, that things are so bad in the Republican Party, that the Constitution Party will be able to get at least enough votes in 2008 to qualify automatically for national ballot access in the next presidential election cycle. Let's assume that it goes that far. And it may well do so on the basis of things we've already talked about this morning. In that regard, are there, in your respective judgments, certain key battleground states where your presidential contender, and that may well be Dr. Corsi, where your presidential contender will in fact appear to, in the final days of the election, before the election, in certain key battleground states, where that 2-3% that the Constitution Party might get may prove to be the balance of power between the Republican and Democratic parties? Is that the way you guys are going to play this thing?
I think, again, Brian might want to answer that first.
Sure.
I would say that if the American people are happy with what they're getting, even today as we stand here, June 6, 2007, we have an amnesty bill giving up to 12 to 20 million illegal people in our culture, the blessings of government. If that's what America wants, then they certainly don't want the Constitution Party. If they want the Real ID Act, if they want, as Dr. Corsi so emphatically described earlier, covert foreign policy agendas, if that's what the American people want, then that's what they're going to get, because they won't allow us, or anyone else for that matter, with an opposing viewpoint, to be in the fight. Here's what it comes down to. We're going down to the sandbox as kids to play at the playground. And you've got two people there, i.e. two bullies, who say, wait a second, you can't participate and play on this playground. And we all stand around going, we thought this collectively was our playground. We have every right to be here. We have every right to participate. Well, if the American people are happy with what they're getting, and they're happy with the results they're getting, then let them keep buying the same product. If they're not, which polls show they're not, we're here to work with them.
We'll be back with Brian Malatesta, the Constitution Party of Texas, and Dr. Jerome Corsi when Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
With recent international